rain down on me, rain down on me, rain down on me.
Blessings, rain down on me, rain down on me, rain down on me. Blessings, rain down on me, rain down on me. Blessings.
Hey y'all, it's your girl Rose. Welcome back to the Pursuit of Righteousness podcast. I'm here with a guest today, and I'm gonna let her introduce herself.
Hey y'all, I'm Denara, in town for the summer from North Carolina.
Okay.
Just glad to be here.
Tell the people about yourself.
Well, I am a graduate of Florida Agricultural Mechanical University.
Mm-hmm.
I am now working in the education system. Mm-hmm. I obtained my Bachelor of Science in Music Industry.
Okay.
So now I am working to get my certification in music education. Go back to school for music therapy and hopefully open my own practice.
Okay.
Following that. So.
Okay. Oh, you're doing a big thing.
Girl.
See you.
I'm just trying to lay out the foundation, you know, give God something to work with. So,
okay. I like that.
I'm just planning.
So speaking of God, you know, this is what this platform is all about. What are your thoughts on growing up within ministry and how it shaped your perspective? We can start from like just the beginning and growing up in church. How was that like growing up in church and seeing things behind closed doors and, you know, regular like everybody else? Like, how was that for you?
I would definitely say growing up as a preacher's daughter, it has taught me to basically come into myself as a person, and it has also matured me early.
Mm-hmm.
I would say a lot of times growing up, there were times where I didn't feel like I was 10 or 12 or 15 years
right.
old. I kind of felt 25,
right.
30, because I was exposed to so much.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing it's taught me to kind of watch who I trust.
Mm-hmm.
Really watch who I have in my inner circle. Because the sad thing is, you know, a lot of people come to the church for it to be a hospital,
right.
but they don't always find the nurses they need. They don't find the right. medicine they need, because, you know, sometimes the people, when the intentions are not pure, they get in the way.
Right.
It's really taught me to read into people deeper.
Right.
Apart from that, something I'm still learning is it's really taught me how to love people too.
Say that.
Because there are, I mean,
we
the world
all
is
of
one
God's
thing,
creatures,
right?
All every
the
last
Bible
one.
Says live peaceably with all men. So sometimes
right.
I'm like, you know, as much as I value my friends, because a lot of my close friends, they're not churchy.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I value, you know, those people who they still have that heart for God but are not necessarily active in a church home,
right.
The people in the church need love too.
Right.
You know, sometimes, you know, they come with baggage and things and they're serving. I have been on that side as well, where I'm serving in the youth department or the music department, and I just have so much loaded on me, but nobody knows,
right.
you know, because I'm keeping it to myself. So really just learning how to be Christ-like in all aspects with all people and really follow peace with all men.
That's
been a challenge, but
right. That's
I'm
really
trying.
Good. Listen, I love all God's creatures. But
right.
For
creatures.
Me,
yes.
I definitely, growing up in the church, my father's also a preacher,
mm-hmm.
it kind of made me hesitant to, in a sense, be in the faith. Because I saw so many people backslide
right.
that for me, it was like, if I'm going to do this, I want to do this for real
right.
and not be the cause of people leaving the church, because it's such a big task and
definitely.
People don't know what you go home. Like, you could preach the house down and then you go home and then you're just
chaos.
Right. You know, it's like you feel like everyone received wine, but at home you feel like water. And so that kind of made me stay away from the faith, because it's like, I don't want people to turn away because of me.
Right.
I don't want people to look at me any type of way because I still have my ratchet side or my
hey.
Other ways. And you know what I'm saying? If people are not as graceful as they should be
definitely.
Towards other people, but they want people to be graceful towards
right.
them.
Right.
And so that's something that kind of like shifted my perspective. It was like, if I'm gonna do this God thing, I gotta do it for real.
Right.
And I have to wait until everything is together, which is a bad way of thinking in a sense, because you don't want to wait till everything is together to follow Christ, because then you'll never follow him.
Definitely.
Because you'll never get it together.
That's so crazy that you said that, because while I was like out running errands today, mm-hmm. I kind of had the thought, like, I'm just thinking about everything and everywhere I want to be in life, right. that I'm not. And I had the thought, like, okay, Denara, if you keep waiting until you're perfect, you're never going to get this done.
You're never going to get it.
So I'm like, okay, like, I checked myself at a red light and was like, okay, I'm just going to have to do it afraid. Right. I'm going to have to just do it not ready. I'm mm-hmm. going to have to do it unprepared. So that's so funny you said
it's
that.
Because I'm trying to tell you.
I'm like, okay, God, I see you, Jesus.
What you doing here? Okay. So to the good stuff, like to the real juicy stuff, when it comes to you in your friendships or dating, which one we gonna do first? Let's do dating, because that's the favorite. The dating aspect of it all. Sometimes dating. I feel like, okay, so right now I'm in a period of time that God doesn't want me to date. Once that time is over, you know,
that's wonderful.
As soon as it hits 12 o'clock, right? As soon as it hits 12 o'clock, I'm there sliding in everyone's DMs, right? But sometimes I'm kind of afraid to tell guys that, hey, my name is Rose and I'm in ministry, da, 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 because it scares them, especially right. if they're not in ministry right. or they don't even go to church. It's like, whoa, okay, girl, like that's like telling a guy you're a virgin, or that's like telling a guy you're a nun when they hear that you're a Christian and you're in ministry. And it's like,
it's different when you're working in the church too.
Right, you know, right. And it's like, are we ashamed? Well, am I ashamed of God? Tell me, therapist Denara, let me know. Am I ashamed of God? Because I don't want to, I will profess, I will stand on top of the building and say, I love you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to scare guys, because right. when they see how prominent I am within ministry, and I'm always at church, and mm-hmm. I have a podcast, so I'm basically ministering and preaching and speaking mm-hmm. into people, that can at times turn them away.
Very true.
So for you, I know you're prominent in ministry. When you walk in the room, people be like, okay. So it's like, how do you feel it affects your dating life in a sense?
That's a really good question, because I have been in a state of trying to figure that out, mm-hmm. especially having moved away from my hometown.
You like, is it me or is it Jesus? What's going on here?
Usually for me, when it comes to dating, I always want to remember that Jesus is Jesus.
Right.
You know, Jesus is not the usher board. Mm-hmm. Jesus is not
the parking lot ministry.
Jesus is not convocation. Jesus
right.
is Jesus.
Right.
And what I mean by that is his example that he set, especially in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. If you look into the disciples and their lifestyles, Jesus was pretty much hanging around sinners all the time.
He sure was.
And especially, you know, when it came time to heal the sick mm-hmm. and, you know, speak to all of these people who were in need, he gave according to need.
Right.
And the people who he criticized or called out were a lot of the people
Pharisees,
in the church.
Right.
Pharisees, Sadducees, yeah, right. all of those. So when it comes to my love for Christ, I just try my best to model my love, or what I think is love,
right.
after Christ's
right.
example. And the Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am a creature of love, created after God's image, like, people are going to be drawn to me.
Right.
So I try to keep that
in mind.
Because, mm-hmm. of course, you know, we're going to attract guys.
Right.
You know what
I mean?
Saying?
We good looking people.
So,
you feel me?
Hey, I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
So we're going to attract guys. But of course, like, when it comes to dating, I don't automatically say, hey, my name is Denara and I'm a minister in my church.
But,
like,
right.
You know, like.
But it's like, but when they text you, where you at, church? Okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm gonna be at church. Oh, what you doing? Church.
But you know what? I think that comes with having a balance too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know, like, growing up, and you've experienced it as well, you know, growing up, I was in church
almost
25-8.
Yes.
So, you know, becoming a young woman, and especially being on the college scene,
right.
you know,
living your
doing
best
all
life.
Listen, and, you know, becoming Greek and everything, I just learned how to have balance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important with dating, because one, I know that one day I would like to be married.
Right.
So I try to portray Denara.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't try to portray this singer or this preacher, you know what I'm saying? Like, on my social, you're right. On my social media, that's what you may see.
Right.
But I mean, I'm on and off, I'm the same.
Right.
So, you know, if it's a guy, you know, I want him to get to know me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for, I want to say church girls.
Right.
I don't like that term.
Me
but
either.
Kingdom women.
Right.
I feel like it's important for us because at the end of the day, if we want to have something meaningful, if we want to have something that, you know, we can say we are in a type of relationship or a type of covenant that
right.
exemplifies Christ mm-hmm. and the church, that whole relationship, you know, we're going to have a partner that can feel us spiritually,
right. mentally,
emotionally, mentally, exactly. So I want him to get to know me, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's pretty much it. I want him to get to know me.
Right,
you know,
just
I'm not flashing everything I do in his
right.
face. I mean, of course, it's important to know that somebody can have the capacity to handle your anointing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, before we even get to that, you know, how you doing today?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So what do you do for work? Where do you
like
work?
Day.
You know what I'm saying?
But
like,
if they go through your Instagram and they try to slide in your DMs, and the first thing they see is child of God, disciple, they're like, hold on, wait a minute.
But that's true. But then too, I think that like different things in our bios and things that can make people challenge us. One,
right,
and then that can also ward off the people who don't want to deal with that.
Right,
and I forget who said it, but there's a quote that's circulating today, and I'm gonna find out who said it. But it says, "If you are a marathon and a man is looking to run a sprint,
mm-hmm.
he's not gonna go after you."
Right.
So if he's looking at your bio, looking at your social media, you know, if you're seeing all of this, you know, all this marathon
right.
of work and things that I'm trying to do for
the
my
marathon
personal
continues. R.I.P.
Period.
Right.
Okay, it turns into a triathlon.
Right.
You know, I'm biking and swimming.
Yeah.
I'm doing all the time.
Right.
Okay.
And then sprint is
exactly.
a 2 second, 1 2 pop, you know? Not that type of
exactly.
ride.
Exactly. Like, at the end of the day, you know, if you're not interested in getting to know me, that's fine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna, you know, shave off any aspects of my life
mm-hmm.
or any work I do for the Church of Christ. You know what I'm saying? But there is always a person behind the mantle.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When I date, I like to get to know the other party, and I like the other party to intentionally get to know me for
right.
Denara.
Right.
So
I definitely get that. So how about like in the perspective of friendships, like how do you handle in that balance with the friendships? Because it can get a little hard because you got your
it
church
can.
Friends. I know, and I, when I think about it, I really do have different friends for different things.
Same.
I got my church friends who would never spend a day with my real friends from the hood. Like, it just, they would never mesh. It just would never,
right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
And then I have my friends who I met in class. Like, my
mm-hmm.
friends, my group of circles would never mesh, but I feel like they represent a different place in my life.
Definitely.
And I do understand that wherever we go, some things we can't take with us, but then we have some friendships that we can.
Right.
And so how do you balance that? Because some friendships will remind you of the flight or
very
the
true.
Moon or,
very
you know,
true.
So how do you keep that balance and, you know, be reminded, but not let you backtrack?
Right. I think that's an excellent question, by the way. I would say, kind of just knowing and accepting where I am
right.
in my walk with Christ, that will help me to decipher, you know, who I can and can't hang around
right.
at this present season of my life.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, there are some people that we used to kick it back in undergrad, you know, when I was going out, when I was doing that thing.
Right.
But now that I'm trying to actually be on the straight and narrow, you know what I'm saying? It's certain times I can't, you know, if it's homecoming,
right?
You know.
Got to turn your phone off.
Yeah, I'll see you at the game.
Right.
You know what I'm
I got some friends who will walk, old friends who will walk past me and just size me up. And it's just like, I have no hate towards you.
Right.
But we just.
No love lost.
No love lost.
Right.
But I think they're upset that we can't be friends. And it's like, we don't have to be enemies. We just
exactly.
can't be friends.
Exactly.
And it's not anything against you. It's just, you just remind me too much of my past.
Exactly. And it's kind of like you already know, you know, what people are going to be about. So sometimes it is a thing where I have to gracefully distance myself,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily saying, oh, you too demonic for me now.
Right.
You know,
people
you know,
too deep. Like, see, listen, I'm not one of them demons. right. That's to
I'm,
me.
I'm trying to follow God. Like, you ain't got to do all
Psalms
that.
Psalms 23. Like, it's not that deep.
Start speaking in tongues. Right. You just, you know, gracefully distance yourself. And
keep
and,
your
you
same
know.
Swag.
Right. You exactly. Don't have to be no love lost. You know right. what I'm saying?
And but I feel like people respect you if you keep your exactly. same consistency
definitely
and swag definitely. But how do you not lose that consistency and swag when you really are your mantle really is like
yeah
what if every other says this it's what if just God just bless you like that then what
I definitely feel where you're coming from I guess I just have to always remember I'm a witness you know either right. way to every friend group you know it's I have friend groups who like you said my convocation buddies you know you
right.
kick it
and that's it
there and some of them probably gonna listen to this and be upset, but it's not like that. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that.
It's okay
you know?
Though, sis.
And
it's
then
okay.
I have like other friends from undergrad, you know, we kick it when they in town, you know, right. when I'm in town, you know what I'm saying? But in every aspect, I have to recall my witness because I never want to get so lax and sit back so much
right,
until
miss
I miss somebody, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And I have to be cognizant because it's like, okay, although I used to do those things with you, right. you know, now I'm in a place where I just can't do it.
Right.
You know
I'm on a
saying?
Different battlefield now.
Exactly. And then the Bible speaks about, too, if you know to do better,
right.
it's still a sin for you.
Right.
You know, no matter what they do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because at Judgment Day, I can't speak for you. You can't speak for me.
Right.
So I think just remembering my witness, you know, we can laugh and kiki all day because I'm a very goofy person, you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, me too.
But, like,
yeah,
at the end of the day, right.
I shall slip up and say the word.
Because I can roast. Boy.
No, for real. I have to watch.
Boy, yo.
Me and my pastor be going at it. And I'll be forgetting he's my pastor. And I'll be like, Pastor, move before I really roast you. Like, you wasn't these
right,
people in the streets.
Right. But,
and so, how do you, yeah. like, feel about people? Because I don't want people to look at me and feel like I'm too churchy.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, have you ever seen someone who just too, like, it's like, okay.
A lot. You're
Jesus,
doing a lot.
You, okay,
right.
Paul himself. And you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. how do you maintain and let people know that you are still Denara? You know, even though I have a different mantle, I have an anointing, I may be mm-hmm. Denara the prophetess, or I may mm-hmm. be a pastor, but I'm still, because it's just, some people are really just too deep for me.
Definitely.
And even I'll be in church and I'll be like, you're too deep. You're too deep. It's really not that deep. Someone sneezed. Hey, it's not that deep. It's sneezed. God bless you. Keep it pushing.
Right.
So how do you maintain that, like, or how do you address people like that? It's just.
That's a great question. Once again. I'm kind of in a place where I just am learning to be myself unapologetically.
Right.
Self-aware. Yeah, self-aware. You know, I feel me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning to love me. I know what
girl,
loving me
speak.
Feels like.
Listen,
you know
Erica Badu.
So,
okay.
Period. You know what I'm saying? That's my girl. I love her. You know, I'm just learning what all of that feels like. And I've also learned what it feels like not to love myself.
Right.
So
speak
because I know now what loving myself feels like, accepting myself, I'm okay with sharing myself with other people, no
right.
matter if they're way up here or
we're
they're
way
down in the valley, you know
that.
What I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I realized that everybody might not accept my personality,
mm-hmm.
but as long as you accept my Savior,
right.
I'm good,
right.
you know what I'm saying? So I'm good. I think that, of course, also the Bible talks about having confidence
mm-hmm.
in God. I believe it's in Psalms or Proverbs, one of those, or either in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It does speak about having confidence in God. And that was a scripture I meditated on because for the longest, I just didn't have the confidence to just be myself.
It's hard.
You know what I'm saying?
When you're a Christian girl. It's,
definitely.
Well, let me say this. Being a dark-skinned girl, for one, I already had, you know, not odds against me or whatever, but I already didn't catch the attention of guys growing
mm-hmm.
up. And then always being in church and having the doo-doo braids, that didn't make me even more appealing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, in a sense, listen, I got some right now. So just look, I used to run from them, and now I'm in them right now. Look, and then growing up, I kind of, that insecurity kind of followed me because I was in my, not say groomed, what is the words I'm trying to say? I grew up thinking that Christian women weren't sexy, or they weren't appealing, or they weren't funny. They were just
mm-hmm.
regular.
Lame.
Right.
Right.
And now that I'm older and God is using me, it's like I have to be that difference to show those coming behind me that, baby, Auntie Rose is still bad, sister. Don't let the color fool you. I'm still bad. I'm still funny. Because I grew up thinking a certain way, and I grew up thinking that we had to be, you know, so old, so mighty and saved, like the mothers in the church, you know, that generational difference. And you can still see that certain churches to this day, some of the mothers, they don't like you being too loud. They don't like you being too funny. They don't like you, you know, I was grown up to hear that woman, when men come around, you don't laugh. Like if you were laughing, you just stop laughing. And I never understood that, because it's like, I can't laugh, like, because I'm always laughing and smiling. And so I was raised to think that Christian women have to be this type of way.
Right.
And because I wasn't that type of way, that insecurity kind of, like, it's like, I'm not cute enough to be a Christian woman.
What's wrong with me?
And I'm not cute enough to fit in this world. Right. So where do I
belong? Exactly.
So how did you kind of deal with that?
You know, I had to realize that being the salt of the earth means that you're not everybody's flavor.
Right.
You know, the Bible talks about in Matthew that we're the salt of the earth. We're a city that's set on the hill that can't be hid.
Right.
If you think about salt, you know, not only is it bitter on its own, you know, but there are different types of salt.
Right.
You know, you got Lowry salt.
Right.
You got Epsom salt.
Sea salt, that's my favorite.
Sea salt.
I clean
my chicken with sea salt.
Right.
Sea salt and that lemon.
Right.
Let it sit in there. You got, you know, all these different types of salt. Once you understand your lane and what your use is, you know, you won't put just sea salt when you fry fish. You know what I'm saying? You're going to put a little Lowry's on, a little Old Bay.
You know, let the girls know the recipe.
Period. I'm a country girl. I grew up country. So, you know, once you understand your lane, I feel like, and your purpose, like that scripture really speaks to those of us who, you know, have grown up in an environment where there's ineffective tradition being projected on our generation.
Exactly.
So that's, once we stem that from that,
how do we, since you brought it up, how do we fix that and like how, change the narrative for one, and then the girls that are coming behind us, because that's the only reason that God opens our eyes and delivers us, not for our own sake, but for those coming behind us. How do we help those girls coming behind us who don't feel like they fit in the world, the church, because of maybe their looks, because of their personality, because they're too loud? That's what I was growing up. People say, oh, you're too loud. Well, God wanted me to use my voice. Now I'm loud. I'm getting paid to be loud. Okay.
Right.
So
exactly.
How would you let your little sisters or your little cousins or little sisters in Christ know that there is a change, a shift, like my pastor says, going on in the heavenly. And we have to change that narrative.
Definitely. I'm going to be real with you. I don't have the answer
to
how to fix it.
Right.
Yet. All I know is, you know, it takes people.
Confidence.
The people are the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Once we understand, and I really feel like generational gap is a mental concept.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't focus on that and we just learn how to get along, get along with the new and vice versa, and just everybody respect one another as the Bible says, show love as we want to be loved, we wouldn't even really have an issue like that, aside from some doctrines and some churches. But I mean, I really feel like it's up to the people.
Right.
And like you said, you know, I have a lot of little sisters who look up to me too. And I want with all my heart to protect them from becoming something they think they have to be because the church is telling them this or that. You know what I'm saying? But the main thing I can do is really live my life unapologetically being
an
me.
Example.
Exactly. So I mean, just how as Jesus lived his life while he was on the earth, you know, that was his example. That's how we know that we can overcome anything.
Right.
So the way that they can know they can overcome anything and they can be them is through my example.
Right.
That's another thing I have to be cognizant about as well.
Right. You said a big important thing, like your little sisters thinking they have to be a certain way for God to use them. And that was something I struggled with too. Like, I have to be this way. And that's, if you read the Bible, everybody Listen, it was a bad episode of Love and Hip Hop, okay?
Listen,
drama.
Bible and Hip Hop.
Right.
That was the show.
Listen, if we read the Bible, we had pimps, we had hoes.
I mean,
can I say? Is that, you know, we had all of these bad whores. We got all of those
donkeys.
In the Bible. Right. And God still used them. And not only did God use them, but they were in Jesus' bloodline. That was the whole purpose. Just to show you that Jesus came from the wretched of the wretchedest. And I feel like sometimes people think that God has to use a certain woman. They look at people and say, "You, God will never use you." On contrary to popular belief.
See.
Right.
You
know?
The least of these.
The one that you forget or the one that people don't even pay attention to could be the one with the biggest mantle or the biggest anointing.
Definitely.
But because they don't look how we expect them to look.
Exactly.
For me, the leadership at my church is not even who I look to for advice or look to for inspiration. I look to those who sit in the pupils and the ones who are just regular people, because they're the ones with all types of anointings, but they're just scared. They don't know what to do with
it. That's a really good point you made, because I know, like, talking to a lot of other people, they have said the same. It's kind of shifting from the leadership to the people
you
in the
see.
Pews are reading the word for themselves and getting the real power from on high.
Right.
From the Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying?
Because it's like, I definitely see the shift. It's like the people in the ministers and the elders, and not saying my church per se or anything, but it's, you could definitely see that if a minister were to pray, it would just be like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." But give it to a random person on the third row, they will pray this thing down.
The anointing makes a difference, for sure.
They will pray this thing down. Not saying that, you know, your anointing is not enough, but some people cup runneth over.
Runneth over, honey.
You
get
more.
I get a cup.
You ain't getting a cup.
Get a cup.
Everybody get a cup. I'm talking, as soon as they touch the mic, everybody, "Oh, on the floor." Cup runneth over. And you definitely see that difference. And it's like, I don't want people to focus on just their leadership in the church. Speak to people. Don't think that because that person on your road doesn't wear the latest shoes, or sometimes they come to church and their shirt is un-ironed, that they're not holy or anything. Listen, that could be the one that God is definitely
the one. That reminds me of the story of David.
Right.
You know,
David,
he was
short.
Working in the fields. He was
sure
little.
Was.
He was scrawny. First of all, he was the youngest.
Right.
And that's a lot of what's going on in our generation. God is using a lot of us who are the youngest.
And the older generation is like,
to our churches, because we're so young.
Right.
But it's like, if we look in the Bible, a lot of people who got used were
Jeremiah.
Young. You got Jeremiah. You have prophets. You got Mary, even they were young.
Right.
You got all these kings and queens, Hezekiah,
right.
and all the kings of Judah. You know, they were so young.
Right.
And a lot of us are coming into our own. You know, God is maturing us. And I believe it's very imperative in this hour that we just maintain, you know, our relationship with Christ and our boldness, our holy boldness.
Right.
You know, it's going to be so important, because at this point, the mantles that a lot of us have on our lives, if we don't take them on, it's going to cause chaos. Like, we've seen chaos in this world.
Right.
It's going to be
chaotic. Right. But then again, I see a lot of young people, even Pastor Todd, who's a young pastor, and has I love that man so much, because he doesn't have any experience, and he would preach on time, like, "Listen, I didn't have any experience prior to this, and God raised me up."
Yeah.
And so a lot of our older preachers and pastors probably look down on him, like, "Sir," he's like, I got good 6 months at Tallahassee, at the Tulsa Community College. I ain't even finished. But look how God has raised me up, you know? So
that's
people
right.
look at you because you're young, like, you don't have experience and da-da-da. God will talk to a rock and raise a rock up if you don't want to. And I realized that our yes has so many souls tied to it.
Definitely.
You don't understand. Every time I put out a podcast episode, it'll be just influx of inboxes and people who will relate, and I'll be like, "Wow, God, if I never said yes, how would this person ever feel like?"
Yeah.
You know, that it's okay to feel this way. It's okay to feel, because when you say it out loud, you'd be like, "I'm the only person who's insecure." You feel stupid. But then when you have people who kind of affirm, like, "Listen, I'll be feeling the same way you feel. Like, I want to be used by God, but I had a past." It's okay. It's okay, because we all done came through some things, especially college, especially family.
Listen. FAMU?
Right. FAMU would do it to you. Ain't nothing holy about that school. Let's pray. Let's pray for that school. So for those who are in ministry and are young women and men, because I have men who listen to, give them some words that come to your mind when it comes to raising up. Like for me, confidence. Be confident in what you do. Another one is be resilient. Travail. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I don't care how hard it gets, keep pushing, because it only gets harder. So like, what are your top three words that you think about when you're trying to encourage someone within this whole ministerial lifestyle? That's real bougie. I like that.
You actually took two of my words, confidence and resilience.
Right.
Confidence, because no one else can be confident for you.
Right.
You have to be confident for yourself. And a lot of times, confidence doesn't come overnight.
It does not.
It never comes
overnight. It never comes.
It's a daily journey. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll be, you know, up today, and then tomorrow I'll wake up and you'll be like, you know what?
You be up for a whole 24 hours. Girl, I'll be up for a good 3 hours, and then I go outside and someone made me mad and I'm down.
Exactly. Like, it's so quick, but you have to fight for your confidence.
You have to
People don't realize that confidence is actually a battle, because you have so many things nitpicking at your insecurities.
24/7.
So I would definitely say confidence, you know, I wish I had it marked, but there is a scripture on confidence,
mm-hmm.
and it speaks about having confidence in God. Definitely resilience, because if you have a call in a particular church, you know, you're going to be combated with a lot of opposition.
Say that. Listen, like, I can't shout because I'm in this little couch position,
a
right?
A lot of opposition.
Girl, say that.
You have to be as resilient as Christ was on the cross.
Right.
And even that he was on the cross, that shows you that you will be able to overcome as well.
Right.
As resilient as Christ was in the wilderness when he was being tempted of the devil, mm-hmm. he kept coming back with, "It is written. It is written."
But the only way you can rebuke the devil is with the word of God, because
definitely.
You can't just say, "Oh, Satan, I rebuke you."
Definitely.
No, you need to say, "It is written that you are under my feet." Yes, I am a bruised woman, but it is also written that a bruised heel could also can still
strike your heel.
Right, you know, a bruised heel can still break a serpent's back or whatever mm-hmm. it says. So you
definitely.
Have to understand that. And when you say, like, in the church, you're going to continuously be tested. You'll be preaching and ministering to people in the church, and they will still talk about you behind your back, or they'll
definitely.
Still say something, you know? So it's like you have to be able to forgive. I think
that's my third word.
Oh, there you go. Look, we're here. You're going to have to, because you're going to be doing all these things for people, and they will still talk about you.
People will people. That's the word.
You have to be okay. You have to practice it every day in the mirror, like, it's okay. Yes, Sister Mary said, my butt looks weird today, but... Listen, I feel like
they
can try.
Talk about your body.
They try me every day. Like, I could just take my body and put it in a closet and then come to church. Like, buy me some clothes then. Like, I understand if you're going to tell
me.
But
you got that nice shape.
I just say, glory to God. That's all I can
hate.
Right. Exactly. And it's like, I understand that, you know, I don't wear certain things, but they want me to be dressed in trash bags. And it's like, ma'am, if I wear a trash bag, my body's still going to show.
Right.
And so I had to realize, like you were saying, resilience. I'm still going to serve you as Christ wants me to. Like, I
definitely.
Thank you, Mother. It's okay. You know, I next time I'll try to put my butt at home. I'll leave it just for you. Thank you, Mother. Or go ahead with your third.
Goes back to confidence,
right.
though, because you, I mean, as long as you're dressed in modest apparel, I mean, and you know, you don't have excess showing.
Right.
Anything. You're just expressing yourself.
Right.
You should be able to wear what you would like to wear.
You would think
so. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, definitely confidence, resilience, forgiveness.
Forgive yourself.
A big one for me.
Right.
Definitely forgiving of self. As much as we preach about forgiving other people, definitely forgive yourself, because
mm-hmm.
you can be the one who, you know, you forget to forgive, and boom, when you die, you're going to hell.
Right.
Like, that would be tragic.
Right. You know? God would be like, sis, all you have to do is forgive yourself.
Right.
And you're like, what?
Exactly. And it's like the simple things, because I used to ask God, okay, God, like, I'm hearing all of these, you know, gurus and, like, you know, female preachers
right.
and things like say, forgive yourself. Like,
right.
how do I do that?
Right.
And he just, you know, took me to the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And one scripture was in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It speaks about love.
Right.
And what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind.
Right.
If you can't replace the words love right. with your name, mm-hmm. you haven't forgiven you.
Right.
You got some work to do.
Right.
So, you know, I just kind of refer back to that and say, okay, Denar is patient, Denar is kind, you know, Denar is not puffed up, mm-hmm. you know, vaunted, not itself, different things right. like that. So
I don't get easily angry.
Exactly. And if I don't believe that I'm not worthy of that love, I'm not worthy of Christ's sacrifice, mm-hmm. I have more work to do.
Right.
So definitely forgiveness of self, also other people. The Bible says 70 times 7, and even more than that.
Right. He literally you know, added that because somebody would be slick and be like, all right, sis.
Exactly. You know what's funny? I multiplied it when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a youth study, and we were reading it 70 times, and I'm like, okay, that's 490 times.
You're done. But then he added that even more, and then you're like, oh God, you got me.
Exactly. You know, that goes back to mercy too, how right. we were talking about earlier, like, as much mercy as I would want, I have to lend others.
It's so hard.
It's hard.
You have to love all God's children.
It's hard. God's it is the beatitude, though. It's in the book of Matthew. Mm. The merciful will obtain mercy. That's right. just what helps
and,
me.
And
sometimes.
That's honestly, I feel like that's where God being a just God comes into play. Because we Definitely. Had this one, Bishop Kimball, who's the overseer of our church. Mm-hmm. He preached and he said that we want God to give us things that we don't give to others or we don't give to God. And it's like, that's where God comes in from being just, because he gives you all what you give to other people, or he gives you all that you can receive. And so if you don't give any mercy to anybody, you can't get mad when God isn't right. merciful towards you.
Exactly.
Because he's just like we all say. Right. And yeah. so even with the forgiving self and forgiving others, what I've learned to let it go as fast as they could throw it at me, as fast as I have to learn to let it go. You ugly. God bless you. I'm practicing that. Not there yet.
Like,
but you gotta, no, but that's what you, even if you gotta do the dance, as soon as they say it, just do the bum. Like, as soon as they throw it at
deflect.
You. Right. Deflect it. Stiff arm it. If that's right. what you have to do, as fast as they can throw it at you, throw it back. Like, just throw it right up off you. Or right. I heard a rumor, Rose, you were doing this. Okay, throw it off you. Don't. Because right. I feel like as humans, when we let things dwell in our heads, listen. We create bigger situations, because that's
and
me.
It's
I'll
so
overthink.
Crazy because neurologically, it's been proven that the more you think on something,
it makes you angrier.
The more it gets, it like kind of ingrains itself
right.
into your strongest sense of memory.
Right.
There's like a sense of memory that's like short term memory.
Right.
Then it
long-term.
Gets to long term memory.
Right.
That's like those things that are repetitive. Like my students, you know, sometimes you have to like. Be repetitive so
right.
they can get it. Okay, now it's in long term. But if we just go over one day,
right.
in short term, you're going to forget it. That's how we have to be with forgiveness.
That's hard because I overthink it. I'd be like, did she really just try me? No, she ain't trying me. Hey, she really just tried you. She just
tried. It's a natural instinct.
It is. It's a natural thing because I'm going to ask, like, did she really just? So you ain't just see her try me. So what you think about
right.
it? That's something we have to nip in the bud. Just don't. Cause when you start asking your homegirl that she was just
then
your homegirl's
and
like,
it be
I'm
the
a,
homegirl from back home.
Up, right? Oh yeah, it be the one from the hood, homegirl. I'll pull up. What's
no,
the address? Right. Since you really gonna drive 6 hours to fight? Like my homegirl will drive 6 hours now. Saints, don't get it messed up.
Listen, I got a couple.
Right,
I definitely got a couple.
Who would drive that drive? How you get? How you mad for the whole 6 hours of drive?
Mad. I mean, madder than me.
Like, they just don't want no one to touch, get angry at me
right.
or anything, because they want the smoke behind
it's
me.
All of the smoke.
And so, as we wrap it all up, as mm-hmm. far as like the growing up in ministry things, what are some things you would have changed in your perspective just to help you transition and be a better woman? Because you're already a phenomenal person now, but just a better you, you know? Thank you. Get it from my mama. Shout out to Annalise, you feel me?
Yes, honey. I think that I would have gotten, maybe applied my word more to my
right.
life earlier. I think that a lot of times, you know, going to Bible study all the time and things like that, it kind of, I want to say in my eyes, made it more kind of like habitual.
Right.
You know, it made hearing the word habitual.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize truly the real power behind the words that we were speaking and the Bible that we were reading. I think that even at an early age, I would have tried to apply it more to my life, you know, and definitely speaking it and reaffirming things
right.
in my life as far as my personal confidence and things of that nature. I also would have learned to accept me early on because, you know, and I will tell people, when I was 12, I was caught up trying to be, you know, in my head, mother this and that, and I was just so church savvy. I was so church savvy, but not kingdom minded.
Right. Okay.
You know.
Okay.
And I can be people. I can be real about it because, you know, I've overcome that, so I don't have a problem talking about it. But yeah, at that young age, I was just like, okay, I'm gonna preach like my family did. And I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna.
But you don't understand
God's
the call, like
and,
what comes with it.
And I didn't exactly. I didn't understand just the sacrifice of being called. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think no one understands until you in that.
Until
position,
you're in it, right? You know, nothing can really prepare you besides, you know, all the prayer and fasting until you're in it. And something comes up, and you're like, okay, God,
right? What? What now? I feel you on
right,
that.
Right. But I definitely would have just been young, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like, just not trying to be so old. And I think a lot of the young people these days, I'm saying young people like I'm 55.
Right.
Y'all, I'm 23.
Right. You're like, don't get it twisted.
But, right. A lot of us, you know, we try to be so old so quick, you know, when we grow
we
up in
get
church.
Married, we want to hurry up and have kids.
Exactly.
But like,
and we don't really understand the responsibility
that comes
with
the marriage.
That, listen.
Because when I be hearing the girls at Pinky Promise or even at my church when my pastor preaches about him and his wife, I'd be like, oh yeah, God, I ain't ready because I'm not sacrificing. If tonight for dinner I want chicken wings and you want fish, you gonna have to sleep on the couch. I'm not ready. That's okay. I'm not ready to get married because we're gonna be fighting over
chicken
it.
And fish.
But I don't like the smell of seafood, so that's why it's like, I don't want, nonetheless, I ain't ready to get married, husband.
Yeah,
where be at?
It's a lot. Like, I would just be young. You know,
enjoy
I would
the
just
season
enjoy
that
my youth, you know? And the Bible does say, you know, don't despise your youth.
Right.
Don't despise your small beginnings.
Right.
I think I definitely would have taken more pride in my younger years.
Yes.
Especially when I was 15, 16, you know? I was so busy, and nothing's wrong with being in church, but I think as we're talking about, that balance is essential, and definitely taking advantage of your younger years.
Right.
You know,
because your knees ain't gonna work, so you can't jump in like it's hot.
Listen,
I can't.
Listen, I don't know what happened, but so between graduation and now,
your knees pop as soon as you walk out.
I feel the rain in my knees. Right, like,
girl,
what's going on?
When it's about to rain, I'll be like, oh, my knees ache.
Right, I got to get home.
Right.
But yeah, definitely just like enjoying my youth, you know, and not despising other young people who want to be young.
Right.
You know, because like it would be times where, you know, I was 16 and 17 and, you know, these people, you know, they going outside having fun and
you inside,
I'm inside trying to be, you know,
preacher.
Trying to be all what have you.
Right.
You know, I definitely just would have enjoyed my time. I can still enjoy my time now. And am.
Right.
Is.
Period. Poo.
But, yeah, definitely enjoy your youth.
Right. That's very good. Very well spoken. For me, I would definitely say don't feel like you have to be someone else for God to bless you.
Definitely.
And to be who you are. God created you loud mouthed, quiet, mute, like however he created you.
Definitely.
Don't let someone opinion of you alter who God called you and said about you. If God said you are loud and boisterous, he made you that way for a reason. Maybe he wanted you to speak to the nations. I remember growing up, people used to always, like adults used to always say, why are you so loud? And now I use my voice for God. And you never know, I might be speaking to the nations. If I walk into the room, trust you gonna hear me. You gonna know it's me. You gonna know it's me. And my God gave me this voice. Can you imagine, like, when it, logically, I'm short, so why do I have such a, you know, like he said, I don't understand why you so small with your upper body.
Why your voice so little, but you so big, I don't like that.
You know, I'm so small, but my voice so big, you know?
Right.
So it's the reason why God has done everything, and don't let anyone make you feel like you have to hurry up and get married.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like they preach about marriage so much at my church, I'd be ready to freaking,
And the thing is, they
groom you to be a wife, so but they don't groom you to be with the single. Men? Not even that, but they groom you to be a wife, but they don't groom you. They don't tell you what to do in your singlehood. Definitely. So while you're single, you're waiting on a husband, and you're not doing, like you said, living your life and enjoying your youth. Mm-hmm. And I found myself like, oh my gosh, where's my husband? But then I thought about it. Ain't nobody trying to be wifed up for real. Like, I'm really trying to live my best life. Right now, and then when it's time for me to be, you know, Mrs. whomever, yeah. I will be that. But enjoy your season, like Denaro was saying, where you are now, and because you're gonna miss when your house is quiet and you have six kids running around. Ooh. And you're gonna miss when you ain't have to deal with your mother-in-law. You're gonna miss when you ain't have to pay your HOA fees for your home, because you know, you're gonna miss that time when you were just in college, you know, when your knees used to work. I miss them days now. I'd be like, Lord, I miss when my knees used to work, God. Oh, Jesus. I can't even be a praise dancer because I'll pop something for real.
Oh, Lord.
So you're going to miss all of that. And so enjoy the season you are in right now. And whom you are is who God called you to be. And if he wants you to change something, trust, he will tell you. He will tell you. He ain't, God ain't messy. He ain't one of your little friends. He's not going to tell someone else to tell you. He will show you in your dreams. You have to stop doing that X, Y, and Z. But if
it be in your prayer time,
it sure do. That's what people don't do, that they don't know that part. You know, for you to commune with God, you have to sit
anybody else,
right? You gotta commune with God, and he would definitely reveal that to you, what you need to change. Until then, be you, be beautiful. You know, I know it's hard for us girls fitting in.
But see, don't fit in, because don't want to stand out,
right? And be the baddest Christian girl. Like, when you walk in the room,
that's the thing. Like, I feel like a lot
change
of
the
us
narrative, women, Sister exactly Denaro. Right. When you walk in the room, let all the men,
everybody
like,
should know. Right. Everybody should know you're in the room, because your light is just so bright.
Bright.
Nothing's wrong with that.
Right. When you walk, you know, in the room, everybody got to change and shift. And even people who don't know God, it's like, who is she?
Exactly. They want to get to know you because of the light. It's
right.
So
she is Rose Alexander, honey. Thinking all of that. Period. Boo. You know? And so, to wrap it all up, you know, we definitely love you guys. Don't feel as if growing up in ministry is a curse, because it's
Please,
not.
Yes.
You know, and you want to say one last thing to the people for advice, just for your little sisters and brothers.
Yeah, I love y'all, you know.
Right.
Thank you for listening to my little voice, you know what I'm saying? Definitely want to encourage y'all to just keep doing what you're doing, you know, keeping your plans.
Mm-hmm.
Even your life outside of church, much love and success to you professionally,
right.
Spiritually,
yes,
personally,
yes,
you know, you know, may you guys succeed,
right.
And may God, you know, bless everything you put your hand to do. May your will align with his will, so you'll always get what you ask for.
Right.
And, I guess I can put my social media handles
right
out there. If y'all want to follow me on Instagram, please say something, because usually I just don't follow back, because I don't be on there like that unless I see something. But it's at the only Denara, DonArah,
mm-hmm.
At the only Denara on Instagram. On Facebook, just my name, Denara Shepherd, same spelling. And I would love to meet you guys.
Right.
You know,
if you need a friend, you know, pull up in her DMs. Only
Definitely.
Friends. We're not taking
only
applications.
Only friends, honey.
Right. We're not taking applications. Nothing else. Honey. We'll let you know when applications open up for you.
Listen,
else.
I literally have an application template.
Right. For friends. Right. Just and for me, y'all know where to find me. Continue to DM me questions and continue to inspire me for new episode ideas. And we love you. And bye, guys.